Hello, Glenmar family. Today I'll be reading from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12, 23, and 24. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's see. Now, if I were to... Oh, hi. I don't know if any of you have taken up any new hobbies during COVID, but maybe knitting isn't really meant for me. And Lois, if you are watching this, I'm sure that you are really laughing right about now. I think during this COVID season, so many of us have taken up new hobbies. We have been invited into our kitchens, perhaps in a new way, doing some baking. We have been invited outside to do a lot of walking and to try some new things. And also during this season, we have been invited into a time of some deeper examination of our relationships, as we find ourselves in rooms and spaces with those that we love for a long and perhaps more intense time than we are used to. But we're also taking a look at our relationships with others more deeply. Our relationships not only with those who are in our immediate sphere, but those in our communities around us. And as we look at them, as we view those relationships with other people, we also have to ask how those views inform the view of our very selves. I know some of us have been considering how we view God more deeply, our relationship with God, or even whether or not we have one. And the way in which we view God also, in turn, informs the way we view ourselves. So today, we won't be talking about or considering my newly failed COVID hobby. Instead, we're going to spend some time considering God. You know, there is a pastor who said that as a child, she felt like God was a really capricious dude with a really killer surveillance system. And it made her feel like she was just sort of a mouse in God's maze. And she never could quite get it right, that somehow God was always upset with just her being a human, and she was always getting it wrong. So maybe you grew up with this idea, this concept of God as being pretty scary or pretty judgmental. Or maybe it wasn't that extreme. Maybe it was just the idea that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, enthroned in the heavens in some sort of distant and far-off way. And in fact, Scripture shows us many different images of God. We see God as ruler, to be sure, and we see God as lion, even as bear. Scripture also shows us an image of God as a rock, or God as a mother. And how about the hymns of the church? What kind of imagery do we often find there? A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, whatever bulwark is. Or how about all hail, King Jesus? So these are often images that form our view of God, and in turn, how we think God might see us. And so while all of these analogies have their basis in Scripture, they are incomplete. As one theologian put it, we are in danger of seeing God predominantly in these terms. We have perhaps sacrificed a sense of God's connection to the world in favor of God's rule over it, and that we are in danger of ignoring God's invitation to be in authentic relationship with God's own self. Perhaps we're in danger of just sitting back and passively waiting for God to work out God's will in this world or in the next, of not recognizing that God is inviting us to be in partnership with the divine all along. But then, on a Sunday, perhaps like today, the lectionary invites us to run into this psalm, and suddenly we are confronting another image of God. As opposed to a God that is remote and uninvolved, the psalmist here writes of God having a physicality, one that is contained in this psalm's image, and that physicality is critical to our understanding. Such a physicality is primary. It is central to this psalmist's message. In verse 13 of this same psalm, it says it like this: "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You see, it's physical action. It is the direct involvement of God's own hands that result in the creation of a new human being. And I find here that the psalmist has echoes of the second creation story in Genesis, where God formed humanity out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into this new living creature. In both of these accounts, perhaps we could just close our eyes and we would be able to imagine the divine reaching into the ground and taking some of that clay-like soil and forming it into the shape that God desires and breathing into this. And that clay-like person actually becomes a new and living creature of God's own design. Or perhaps we could imagine the hands of the divine holding the threads with which we have been knit together, bone to bone, flesh upon sinew. Well, here is a God that is not distant and not far off. But it's a God that is involved in the gathering of our very molecular structure, of threading the strands of our very DNA. You see, here God is source code, you know, to be sure. But yet God is more than that. God is creatively and intimately involved with hand and breath and voice and will. And it's the hand of God upon the psalmist. That hand is not seen as punishing. It is seen at the same time as being both powerful and wonderful, of guiding and of comforting. For it is felt, it is experienced as an utter place of trust. When I was a child, I had asthma really bad. And one of the things that my dad did as a profession was he was a preacher in a different denominational tradition, but he was a preacher nonetheless. And I remember as a child, I have faint memories of an evening service that for me was pretty dramatic because I began to struggle with my breathing during the course of this service. And my dad, who was preaching, actually, his eye never really quite left me. And somewhere in the midst of his delivery, he recognized that I was beginning to get into trouble. And so he wrapped his sermon up more quickly than he probably would have otherwise. And he came immediately to me and he picked me up and he placed me on his shoulder in such a position that my diaphragm caught the shoulder, his shoulder, and I began to feel some relief. He placed his hand on my back and another one up on my head, that seemingly giant hand covering my head, and he began to pray. And during that prayer, he discerned whether or not we needed to go to the hospital or whether I would get some relief right there. You see, in all of that time when my dad was watching me or observing my behavior, it wasn't from a punishing point. It wasn't from a critical stance, but it was because he watched me to see where I needed him and where I needed his help. And I believe that it is from this kind of place of trust that we can read those opening lines of this psalm, perhaps with different eyes. You see, this isn't written from the view of God's surveillance camera. Oh no, this is a psalm that is written from the place of trust, where God's eyes, where God's desire to place a protection around the psalmist and to join the psalmist in companionship, where that will allow the psalmist to experience anything in life and never completely alone. It is this intimate, loving Creator God that is always present. And secondly, the power of this psalm perhaps lies within its honesty. How God knows us. How God formed us in secret, but God knows us. God knows all of our irks and our quirks, all of our potential and all of our problems. It's God that was there. God did it. And in fact, God not only knows us, God takes responsibility for who we are. So no matter who you are or where you're from, no matter what skin you might find yourself in, God formed you. And you are of incalculable worth because God's hands were forming you. So your parents may not have planned your appearance on this planet, but trust, there is purpose for your life. You have value and you have something to give. And you have been designed to make a difference in the world just by being you, just by being the person that God formed and created, because you have been made in the image of the divine. So even if you have struggled with anything in your life, with clinical depression or maybe bipolar disorder, perhaps you've struggled with a shopping addiction or even an exaggerated view of your own self-importance, you know, you have been formed by the hand of God, created in God's own image and designed to belong in a beloved community. You know, I remember a time several years ago in a church that I had left from Kansas. There was a man named David there in that church. And as I got to know David, I recognized almost immediately that David was an incredibly intelligent person. David had a ton of potential, but David also had a coke addiction that he had struggled with for a really long time. And, you know, as all addictions go, it didn't end well. David ended up in and out of prison. And there was this one time in which David had returned to the life of the congregation, and he had begun to take a disciple Bible study course. And David was really working hard at not only kicking his habit, but also reintegrating with life outside of prison. And there came a time in which I recognized I hadn't seen David in a while. In fact, it had been too long to be comfortable, and so I began to think about what David might be doing. And I had an invitation to go and preach at Winfield Correctional Facility. And when I arrived and stood up to preach, I saw David. David was back in the prison system. And, you know, I have to confess, I have to be real honest here, that at first I thought, oh boy, you know, there we go again. And that was a wrong thought. And it, almost immediately I knew that that thought was misplaced, because when I caught eye contact with David, he broke into this beautiful smile. And I went on ahead and finished the sermon, and at the end I was meeting some of the inmates, and David came up and talked to me, and he said, "You know, Anna, God knew exactly what I needed. I'm in here this time. Yeah, it's my fault. But God knew that I wasn't ready to be out there yet. God knew I needed this time. And even more than that, God knows that I am more than the sum of my mistakes." You see, that realization had to be really tough for David. David lost a job opportunity in that. David was going to struggle incredibly when he got back out again into society. But he understood God as such a deep aspect of his life that God's guiding hand was going to be with him even there, and that God knew exactly what he needed. Tough, yes, but it was exactly what David needed. So if we were to bring this idea of God as being physically and intimately involved in our lives to the table, if we were to bring this idea of the ability to trust God with every single circumstance that we have to the table, then I wonder how it might inform our prayer life. If this God is honest with us, as honest as we see here in this psalm, then surely we can be honest with God in return. If God already knows who we are, where we are, what we are capable of, well, then perhaps we could learn to trust God even more. Perhaps we could learn to trust Him with all of our glory and with all of our junk. We could trust Him with our triumph, and we could trust Him with our failures. We could trust Him with our doubt, and we could trust Him with our faith. You see, the psalmist invites us to consider God in the depth of all of this stuff that is human. Effectively saying, "Please, God, show me myself. Show me my true self, the one that you created, and lead me in your way. Lead me in your way everlasting." And I kind of think of that like discipleship, like following Jesus no matter what. You see, I believe that deep prayer comes from deep trust. It comes from a place of being known, the good, the bad, the trifling, truly known, and being good with that. I believe that that God understands no matter where we are, and that God desires that we develop a kind of trust, the kind of trust that engenders a deep relationship, both with God and with others. So if I imagine God to be this, you know, capricious dude with a killer surveillance system, then I'm not going to have much to say. I'm probably not going to pray very often, or certainly not very deeply. I might just be trying to avoid him altogether, right? Or if I imagine God as somewhere remote in the heavens, unconcerned with my needs and unconcerned with my concerns, well, then I'm probably not going to have much to say to God then either. After all, God like that, a God who's like that, doesn't really matter, right? Or if I imagine God as the architect of an incredible, you know, punishment reward system, well, then I'm probably going to spend a lot of time just trying to earn my way into the divine heart and prove how completely lovable I am. You know, I'm going to try to avoid the punishment and I'm going to try to reap the reward. But if my image of God is formed, at least in part, by this psalm, well, then I'm sure I'm going to have a really different response. One theologian describes this kind of faith, this kind of trust, not as an intellectual assent to the proposition, but as an ability to relax in the presence of God the way in which you would relax in the presence of someone that you are certain is fond of you. I believe that Psalm 139 has been written as if it has been penned from that place of incredible trust, where the psalmist is able to relax in the presence of a God that he knows is really into him, a God that is comfortable with him, a God that wants to be there. And from this position, that this psalmist invites us to take a different view. We are invited to see God in the depth of our experience, whatever that experience may be. We can invite God to help us make an examination of ourselves, to make an examination of how we live internally and how we are in relationship with other people. We can invite God into the very core of who we are, because God is trustworthy. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. You see, from here, the psalmist is led into new and hopeful ways. The psalmist trusts that God is going to lead from wherever the psalmist is into a new hopeful way, into the way everlasting. I remember my mother singing, "At times, if I close my eyes, I can almost hear her voice." And one of her favorite songs went like this. It said, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still." You see, God isn't an amateur who just recently took up knitting people or hasn't just recently taken up pottery in the creation of you. God has been dealing with folks like us for a really long time. Yes, it's this same God that inaugurated the solar system, who carved out the Grand Canyon, who carefully knit you and me together, weaving our unique strands of DNA, of God-woven DNA. And this is a God that is trustworthy, a God that knows exactly where you are and exactly what you need. I invite you to take some time to open your heart today, to begin a conversation with God in prayer. And it doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be well-worded or long. Remember, God already knows who you are. It just needs to be honest. It can even be something like, hey, God, it's me. You know me. Help me to know you. Help me to trust you more. Help me to relax in this incredibly anxiety-producing season. Help me to relax in your presence as I relax in the presence of someone who loves me. Help me, God, to know the power of your grace and to rest in your healing hand. And all of these things come from you, God. So I pray today that you would be able to invite the Holy One into your space, that you would position yourself to openly receive God's grace and God's mercy, that you would openly begin to trust God more, as the psalmist did. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.